Hello everyone and welcome to the Daily Newspaper Analysis. So today we have two articles for our discussion. The first one is from The Hindu as well as the similar article is there from the Indian Express. So the title is Emission Control at the Glasgow 2030. So this talks about the idea and the future stake that we have taken for controlling or reducing the greenhouse gas emissions. The second article is from The Hindu, which is titled as India Central Asian Outreach. So this article talks about the steps that India would be taking to increase its support and to increase its outreach in the Central Asian countries. So what steps would be taking over here will be discussed over this article. This newspaper analysis is presented by me. My name is Sheva Khan. I am a BA LLB law graduate and I have completed my law degree from Uttaranchal University with a gold medal in my batch. I also have been a national debater and a public speaker, and here at LawSeekon working as the manager for current affairs vertical. So let's discuss the first article of our day, which talks about the emission control at Glasgow 2030. So the United Nations Climate Change Conference of Parties is to begin from 31st of October, and that is why we are really looking forward as to what would be the discussions primarily that would be taken to reduce the greenhouse gases emissions at the Glasgow by 2030. So if you talk about the present situations, the countries are being urged to raise their emission reduction commitments under the Paris Agreement. So as we know that the Paris Agreement itself already talks about reducing the greenhouse gas emissions. So we're actually, you know, looking forward that the countries that are the signatories of the Paris Agreement, they should actually make more efforts to try to reduce the carbon emission that they are doing. Some positive outcomes have been achieved while major emitters are woefully short of the reductions required by 2030. Now, as we know that China and US, also including India, they are the top three emitters, greenhouse gas emitters of the world. But amongst these three, only India has been so far been able to perform better as compared to other higher emitters. And that is why it is required that the countries that are actually emitting the most are also realizing their responsibility and they are reacting in the similar manner. So if you talk about the sixth assessment report, which was recently brought forward. So the sixth assessment report states that the emission rates should reduce by 45% of 2010 by 2030 to reach net zero emission by 2050. So this says that if at all, we look forward to reaching the net zero emission by 2050. I hope you understand here that the net zero emission basically is that we are able to absorb as much as we are also emitting. So if at all we need to reach or we have to reach the net zero emission by 2050, so the emission rate has to be reduced by about 45% as per the rate which was there in 2010 within the time period of 2030, and only then we can assume or we can actually say that we might reach the net zero emission by the time of 2050. So developed countries are responsible for 75% of the accumulated greenhouse gases, and hence they should bear the maximum responsibility, as we were just discussing. The developed countries should reach net zero or the zero emission by 2035 to 40, and the 2050 timeline seems to divert the attention from 2030 targets, and the article says that we should not let that happen. So if we talk about the evaluation of the 2030 targets, so the 2030 emission rates are supposed to be 16.3% higher than what was in 2010, which has been recommended to be less by 45%. So the United States is actually pushing countries for deeper emission cuts, while US itself is suffering miserably on the same front. So other, the countries that are standing against the rapid reduction are Russia, China, Brazil. So all of these countries should actually be working a lot in reducing the greenhouse gases emissions, but unfortunately they are not. So here, India could actually plead the CBDR and it could play along with China's pledge for net zero emissions by 2060-2070. With this, let's discuss the second article for the day, which talks about India's Central Asian outreach. So the Afghanistan takeover has renewed challenges for India's regional and bilateral ties with Central Asia. Now, as we know that for India, Afghanistan has been an important tie when it comes to moving to the Central Asia. So Afghanistan, as we know, recently has been under a great turmoil since the time the democracy has been uprooted completely over there and Taliban has taken the control. In this situation, there is a fear that mongers along that the increasing influence, basically the negative influence that is increasing of Taliban, it would also definitely reduce, it will definitely come forward, or it might result in, you know, worsening the ties between India and Afghanistan. Now, in this situation, it is important for us as a country to understand that since Afghanistan has been an important key for India to interact with other countries that belong to the Central Asia, be it Tajikistan, Kyrgyzstan, Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan. So, in this scenario, what would be the plan that India would take to move or increase its outreach in the Central Asia? So let's talk about the Armenian ties of India, the ties that India has with Armenia. So Mr. Jaishankar visited Armenia on October 13th. So he is the first foreign minister of India to do so. So the ministry of both countries agreed to enhance trade and cultural exchanges to boost the bilateral ties between Armenia and India. And Mr. Jaishankar also supported peaceful methods for tackling the Nagorno-Karabakh conflict. Now, if you remember, there was this conflict of a physical geographical area called as the Nagorno-Karabakh, which is an area of conflict, or which is a territory of conflict between Armenia and Azerbaijan. Now, both the countries have also been supported by Russia and Turkey in the entire thing. And here, Mr. Jaishankar also said that we have to find some kind of peaceful method to actually come up with to tackle with the conflict of the Nagorno-Karabakh region. So this is crucial because the Shanghai Cooperation Organization was used by these countries for geopolitical motives, which was established actually for addressing terrorism. So instead of actually, you know, curbing or being able to curb down the terrorism, the sole purpose these countries have been using the SCO is for various kinds of geopolitical motives, and that definitely should not be appreciated. So post the fail of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, the central leaders collectively voiced their concerns over the Afghanistan situation, and thus India also wants to further the bilateral ties in hope for defense cooperation and better trade relations in the coming times. Also, India is also seeking to diversify its strategic ties, and by recalibrating the regional engagements is of utmost importance when it comes to face the Taliban. Now let's understand that what are the relations that India has with other countries of the Central Asia. So Mr. Jaishankar has extended a credit of line of $2,000 million in Kyrgyzstan. So this was done for supporting the development projects over there. Also, a memorandum of understanding has also been signed on high impact community development projects with Kyrgyzstan. And it also we also attended the 6th Foreign Ministers Conference on Interaction and Confidence Building Measures in Asia, which was held in Kazakhstan capital Nur-Sultan. So at this particular conference, which is also called as the CICA, which is basically the Conference on Interaction and Confidence Building, Mr. Jaishankar criticized China for promoting Belt and Road initiatives, which are basically with parochial interests, just like we have an example of the China-Pakistan Economic Corridor, which passes through the Gilgit-Baltistan area, which legally is under the control of India, or it comes under the Indian map, but has been illegally occupied by the Pakistan government. So we also confronted Pakistan for supporting the cross-border terrorism. So definitely a lot of, you know, issues have been raised up, and let's really hope that some constructive arguments and decisions can come out through this entire discussion. So that was all for the day. We hope it was a good and informative session for you all. Thank you so much for staying tuned with LawSeco. If you wish to download the PDF of today's slides, you can join our Telegram channel. The link to the channel is available in the description box below, or you can scan the QR code that you can see on your screens right now. Also, please do not forget to follow us on our official Instagram channels for other crisp and exam-oriented content for LawSeco Judiciary, CLAT Prep, UGC Net, or even for Law Finance exams. Thank you so much.